Up here in studio, a gentleman that we've had on the show many, many times before, and in our previous conversations, I never knew that he was an author. Turns out he's written many novels, and he recently published his 13th Floaties, A Rude Awakening. Mike Hastow joining us. Mike, great to have you here in studio, my friend. How are you?
Oh, life is beautiful, and thank you for having me, bro. Much appreciated.
Let's get into this because, again, in our previous conversations, I never knew that you had written so many books, but you've got one out now called Floaties, A Rude Awakening. This is a sci-fi book, right?
This is the first time I've delved into science fiction, yeah, but it's still a thriller, suspense thriller kind of thing, and I've written many suspense thrillers previously, but this one took a little bit more creativeness to do.
Well, and it's fitting for the times that we live in, right?
Talk about timing. Everything is timing, and considering where this book ended up taking us, I would say it's coincidental, maybe. I don't know. Prophetic, maybe?
Well, if it's just the way you worked out and you could wave your magic wand, wave that thing again and get this virus out of here so we can get back to living a normal life. But you mentioned it's a thriller. It's a sci-fi book. What is this book all about?
I guess without giving too much of the plot away, the bottom line is it's about the Earth kind of taking back its Earth.
Earth taking back its Earth. Okay, well, you can see how that fits in with what we're dealing with today for sure. Now, how long have you been writing?
Well, overall, I've been writing since 07, so it's been 13 years. I started out in the poetry area and wrote a lot of poetry when I was a kid and so forth to get through those teenage years and so forth, and it just kind of evolved. One day after actually publishing the first book in 07, which was a poetry book, my wife had no idea that I was doing. I went ahead one day and brought it up to her when I received it, and I said, "Look, honey, this is what I've done. This is what I've done with my time the last 6 months. I just wanted to let you know, Please, please read it. Please be proud, and so forth." And she kind of looked at it and kind of scoffed at it. And she kind of said, well, I kind of expected you, if you're going to write something, I expected you to write a novel or something, and I just looked at her. I went, oh my gosh, 6 months down the drain. What happened? But obviously that kind of spurred me on to write the first novel. And she knows how creative and how writing is a big thing with me. So that kind of motivated, and it kind of snowballed from there.
Now, the process of putting a book together is extraordinarily difficult. Getting one published is really tough also. You mentioned that you've written several books, but this is your 13th one that you published, and this one took a couple of years to put together.
Well, yeah, this one took a couple of years. More so the creative juices, more so than anything else. Also, timing, once again, kind of played a part of it. But I actually started the book in back when you and I were holding conversations and remotes somewhere else, and had a group of people with me, my staff, who actually took a big part of it, wanted to play some characters and so forth. So that kind of motivated the story in the beginning. And then just recently, when I had the opportunity of getting back to the story, it took a big right-hand turn that's not expected. However, in most of my books, there are quite a few twists and turns that are unexpected. The Earth kind of came into play, and it all kind of came together rather nicely.
Mike, what would you say is the goal you want readers to take away from this book? Again, without getting too much into the plot and avoiding spoilers, what do you really want readers to kind of take away? I know you mentioned Earth taking back Earth.
Well, I didn't, Rocco, really get into the plot as much. I kind of gave you eight or nine words that were kind of general. I take everybody to a coastal town, St. Pete Beach in Florida. I've been there many times, and that town is pretty close to my heart. I've done the research and so forth. So what I do is I drop the reader right into the town right off the bat, and I get them to go ahead and meet up with some characters down there, okay? Kind of get into an everyday life, a little bit of a touristy situation. And from there, what I did was I went ahead and developed a missing person scenario, and suddenly the townspeople were kind of looking for this missing person. Something happened on the way, and suddenly, poof, there was a what I call a floaty, and my wife gets very mad at me because she's like, a floaty, this isn't good. What does this mean? And basically what it is, as I want to go ahead and put that vision out there, is a floaty is someone who had drowned. Okay. Normally, they're doing the dead man's float as they're floating in the ocean or in the Gulf in this case. And what happened was I have them actually floating as a buoy. Okay. So right away, there's a little bit more intrigue. There's a little bit more interest in what's going on. Like, what happened here? What's going on? And one thing leads to another. And the police obviously get involved, and they think it's a big town thing. And before you know it, the missing person is still missing, and they're looking for them. But the investigation into the missing person turns into now a missing an investigation into the floaty, who happened to be a tourist at the time. And then one thing leads to another rather quickly, snowballs quickly. The police, with all the clues that they are getting, are actually baffled by them. And eventually what happens is it kind of grows into a scenario where, hey, somebody makes the connection where it's not just in St. Pete Beach, but all of a sudden it's along the western coast of Florida. And then, oh my gosh, there's something going on in the Gulf. And what's going on in the Gulf and what could be happening here and so forth. And, you know, one thing leads to another. And basically military gets involved. Everybody gets involved. And before you know it, there's something happening that nobody would ever, ever imagine.
Huh. You'll have to read the book to find out what else there is happening.
There you go.
So, Mike Castle joining us here in studio on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Now, many of you maybe have seen Mike, but you just didn't know that you saw Mike out and about riding in the mean streets of North Ridgeville. I've actually seen Mike out there riding a few times, and Mike's got some pretty colorful getup as he rides, and he'll explain why in just a few moments. But you were riding your bike, and you still ride your bike for a purpose to raise funding and awareness for childhood cancer.
Yes, that's right. Childhood Cancer Relief, back over three years ago, I got involved in the Great Cycle Challenge. And what that is that's a national challenge that was created from the Childhood Cancer Relief Fund up in Minnesota. Getting involved, reason I got involved right off the bat was I'm a hockey coach for Elyria Catholic, and the starting goalie one of the years was Jacob Wang, who ended up having childhood cancer. He ended up losing out on his junior season and his senior season playing soccer for Elyria Catholic, and just barely made it to graduation before he unfortunately passed. And I dedicated the first year, second year, and actually this year as well to him for what had happened and so forth, and just trying to tally up as much as we can as far as donations and so forth concerned. I go out, I ride a lot of miles. The first year, the goal was 500 in a month. So you have 30 days to go ahead and do this. I did 507. The second year, I upped the goal to 600 and beat that, and tallied up quite a few donations and so forth along the way. This year, I'm not only writing just in the month of September for him, and it's in September this year instead of June because of COVID-19, but basically I dedicated the whole year to him, and so I'm writing 2,600 miles. For over a 12-month span. Right now, I'm somewhere around 1,739, I think, so far put in. I even put in 58 this morning in order to go ahead and bring up that awareness. And I not only ride around this, the town of North Ridgeville and so forth, but if anybody has seen me, I've done the Cedar Point Trek a couple of times on Lake Road all the way out. I just took the bikes to Niagara Falls the last 2 days. I took the bikes to Niagara Falls last year, went out to the Outer Banks last year. So that, you know, every bike trip that I try to do, there's like an adventure to it, so that we can go back. I document all of them on the webpage for the Great Cycle Challenge. So everybody can actually follow along and see, you know, hey, where did Mike go today? You know, oh, he did 60 miles. Well, let's go see. Oh, he went out to Wakeman. And then, oh, he went all the way to Collins and, you know, so forth. So there are different scenarios and so forth that we do or that I've done that that I try to go ahead and get as much exposure as I can when it comes to something like that.
Holy smokes. That is a lot of mileage. And you look like you have ridden quite a bit. I mean, you're down, you told me, what, 70 pounds, I think, since the last time we spoke?
Yeah, it's been about 70 pounds in the last 2 years. Just recently dropped another 25. So nice. Since March, since COVID, everybody's worried about the COVID. You know, everybody's 10 pounds heavier, 15 pounds heavier. I've been working the whole time through it, and I've actually lost 25 pounds in the last, since March.
Wow. So it's the Great Cycle Challenge. I know you've got a website that our listeners may be interested in taking a look at to find out how they can get involved. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, sure. It's right. It goes right to my page at the website. It's www.greatcyclechallenge.com/riders, RIDERS/ Mike Hasto. And that's HAS as in Sam, Z as in zebra, T as in Tom, O. And that'll take you right to my page. And you can follow along to see how we're doing on the donations or how we're doing on the mileage and so forth. I do caution everybody if they do go to the page. The mileage says zero right now, but all of my rides are logged because the zero is for the month of September, where they're looking for the 600 miles for the goal then. That's when that tallies. But underneath it, you have all the rides that I've done all throughout 2020. So far, and it comes up to 1739 miles. So,
wow. So you were telling us about the trek you take on Lake Road to Cedar Point and back. Mm-hmm. About how long does that take you?
This year, I did it last a week ago Monday, and it took me just under 8 hours to go ahead and do it. I'm not one of those kind of roadsters that'll get out there and ride 20 miles an hour, 18 miles an hour, what have you. I mean, I'm 61, so. So I'm happy doing 14, 15 miles an hour. I'm happy just kind of cruising along and so forth. I'm never in a rush and that. And that's a fun jaunt. But I've got a funny story about the Cedar Point situation. I did it last year, the first time I ever crossed over 100 miles in a ride. And I got tossed out of the park I wasn't even in the park. I was on the boardwalk at the time. The chief of police came over and told me to get out of the park because they don't allow bicycles in the park, after I took a bunch of pictures and so forth. Last week when I was there, the park was closed, got into the parking lot and so forth, and I went the same route as I went last year. I was up on the beach boardwalk area, and I just happened to be cruising down with the bicycle. I knew the bicycles weren't there, so I guess it was premeditated and I was wrong. But I started taking the pictures and so forth and noticed how deserted everything was. They had some employee training going on, so their rides were going and so forth. But I came across about halfway down to the Hotel Breakers, I came across an open gate and noticed that there was a couple of other open gates around. So I decided to, with people on the boardwalk, not really saying or doing anything. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe the gates were open for hotel guests or whatever. So I kind of poked in on my bicycle and started looking around, and I happened to see a couple of rides, one of which was the Snoopy World ride with the big picture of Snoopy on it. And my wife, who happens to love Snoopy, I went ahead and decided to venture on over on my bicycle into the park, and went ahead and took a selfie there and took another selfie at another ride and so forth. And as I was leaving the park, because I knew that sooner or later I would get caught, I was about 15 feet away from the exit, the same gate I came in, and I kind of heard from the police car, you on the bike, so obviously I got caught, and an ID later, and all this kind of information and so forth. I was escorted out of the park, out of the front of the park this time, by two lovely policemen, and they were fine. They were very professional. They were very nice. Young kids and so forth. But I explained to them that I did it for charity and I was doing it for charity. I was looking for the publicity to get donations and so forth. And they basically said, well, you better delete all the pictures inside the park. Otherwise, that could run into some legal issues since it's private property. And they did say, do not go ahead and ride a bike in here because you cannot go ahead and for safety purposes. And I understand that. I'm the kind of person that lives life to the fullest, and I kind of take that extra step sometimes when I shouldn't, and just to go ahead and add to the adventure. And that was it. But it was kind of incredible.
Quite the adventurous trip to Cedar Point, my man. Holy smokes. Yeah. Usually people get an adventure when they go to Cedar Point, but yours was for an entirely different reason.
Yeah. And it was free. It was just a whole lot of sweat. That was about it.
Nothing wrong with that.
But
they
it was
always
a lot of fun.
They always say if you're not sweating, you're probably not working, right?
So, there you go.
Well, you've been doing plenty of working, my friend. That's some serious mileage. Very, very good stuff for a terrific cause. One more time before we cut you loose, Mike, if you could throw the Cycle Challenge link out there, and we'll also throw the link out there as well and let our listeners know where they can go to get their hands on your new book.
Sure, I appreciate that. It's www.greatcyclechallenge.com/riders, RIDERS, / Mike Hasto, HAS as in Sam, Z as in zebra, T as in Tom, O. And that'll take you right to the Great Cycle Challenge page that I have. And you can go ahead and donate from there. And you can actually go ahead and see all the rides chronicled and so forth. The book is called Floaties, A Rude Awakening. And it is available on any kind of online book site that you would like to go after. So it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those big sites. And from what I understand, it's available in all kinds of different languages, too, like all the other books that I have. So you can either go straight to there, or you can just Google my name, and all the book sites will come up that way, too.
Great stuff. Mike, this was such a pleasure, man. It's been long overdue since the last conversation you and I had. I think it was like, 2 years ago, something
yeah,
like that?
I think it was.
But always a pleasure catching up with you here in studio. Let's do this again soon, my friend.
I appreciate everything. Thanks, Bull. I do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Hastow joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.